The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
Coming up on today's experience, it's Dr. Dave's. I have to tell you, sometimes when people say I'm a doctor, it scares me. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects play throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh, and ours are as good as anybody's because they're free. So they're really good. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I've been asking this very same question for roughly now about 12 and a half years. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go, we're asking questions about living life as a Christian. This question that I'm going to ask needs to be answered, and if you don't actually have an affirmative to this question, you need to get one. Here's the question. Do we have an immediate go-to prayer support when we're in situations? Do we have an immediate close spiritual family, close spiritual friends? Do we have an immediate go-to when we have a situation arise? Now, you can sit there and say, well, I'll talk to this person every so often. Great. I'm talking about you got a crisis. You need people to pray. Do you have an immediate go-to prayer support? Or do you have an immediate go-to close spiritual family? Or do you have an immediate go-to close spiritual friends? If you have an affirmative on any of those, great. If you don't, you need to have one. But that's the question. Do you have an immediate go-to prayer support? Simple as can be. If you want to answer that question, or if you have an opinion on something else, a comment, a thought, or a different question altogether, don't let it die of loneliness. Just reach out and give us a call. Our number here, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, well, by golly, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Wow, I love that music. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like talking to a person that you can count on.
Aww. Oh, that's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday with you and for you, my friend. I'm inking it up here today, as you can tell. Go ahead and tell them what you may see on my tips of my hands. What is it that you sight, that you can potentially see through the glass? What can you see?
I see ink on your hands.
That is
and
correct.
You walked in to the station today, and you said, I'm going to try one last thing with the printer, and if not, then, well, we're back to me printing things for you, and I guess it didn't work out right.
It did not work out. I just want to point that out to everybody. I'm having that kind of day where I put the new cartridges in, And don't you know when you have a brand new cartridge, they should just go into the printer? Nobody, that's not complex. Click, 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 except these cartridges might be a little old, maybe 10 years old, maybe 12 years old, and maybe they didn't hold it together and decided, look, there's a human hand. Let's jump on that. So that's what happened.
But it's okay. We're back to the original plan where I print stuff off for you in my office, but it doesn't take long at all, just a couple clicks.
No. But this is my third printer try, moving printers all over the place. And I'm just telling you one thing. I am Mr. Magneto when it comes to computery stuff. If you have something you want me to do for you and it has to do with computers, just go to the lake, whatever lake is closest to you, take whatever it is and drop it in the water. It will have about the same effect as me helping you. Okay? All right, great. So anyway, just pointing that out, if you want to reach out to us by phone, you know that you can do that. Going back to my question, though, do you have an immediate go-to prayer support? If you don't, you need to have one. You need to find one in church. You know, we try to make ourselves available here to help people as well, but you either have to have one in church, you got to have one with some kind of fellowship group, some kind of family, some kind of friendship, somewhere where you can go and pour it out and ask for prayer. You got to have a place like that. Everybody does need a place like that. It's really important, okay? Lone Wolf McQuade, great movie, not a great principle for Christians. So let's just go back to that and make it simple. What we're trying to encourage you to do is give us a call if that will help in any format. You can also text us, by the way, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. So don't call 214-210-8483. It's just for text. Additionally, you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, my name, @hemustincrease.org. Now, the reason that I ask that question is not to discourage people from calling this show and getting prayer. It's the exact opposite. What I want you to do is know that you have a place where you can go. You can go and have people pray for you. We're a part of that. But we're mostly a part of that 1:30 to 3. But I'm talking about, do you have a place to go at the weird hours that you can always have people, count on people to be praying for you? That is something you need. Now, we did give you the phone number, we did give you the text, and we did give you the email. And you're thinking, why did you give us those things? And the answer is pretty straightforward. We want you, if you have a prayer request, to bring it and let us pray. Let us pray for you. Because prayer works. Kingdoms change. People change. Circumstances change. Finances change. Health changes. It all changes when the kingdom of God is brought in to a situation. And what is it that Jesus said, teaching us how to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you don't have to wonder whether that's from the Lord or not. Of course it is. So it can be for a prayer request. It can be for a praise report, something you got going on, something that's taken place. You're just like, you know, I had this happen, this gracelet. I had a good friend of mine I was talking to on the phone today. He had something happen. It was just a wonderful little gracelet for him. He felt like the Lord was showing him something in Scripture. He had gotten a Scripture before the service that the Lord had given him this whole impression. And then he got into the service, and the guy teaching was a visiting teacher. And that guy taught on exactly what my friend encountered in the Lord before the service. And he was like going, I know the Lord was talking to me. Once has he spoken, twice have I heard. I mean, that's just powerful. So those are the great things. So maybe it's a testimony. Maybe it's a gracelet. Maybe it's something that just kind of blows your mind and you just want to share it. Totally cool. We're for it. We love it. You can call us at the 972-445-0770 number. You can text us, 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. It is in your hands. To Matthew chapter 21. And we're picking this back up. We taught on it last week, and we're picking it back up. When the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law saw the wonderful miracles of Jesus, they were all upset. Instead of being praising God, they were mad. And then little children, the younger group was praising God. The youth group was going, all right, God, yeah. And so the Pharisees, the leading priests and the teachers of the law got mad at Jesus and said, tell them to stop. That's where we're picking it back up. So we'll pick it back up technically from verse 15, but we're going to focus on Jesus' response in verse 16. Well, let's pick it back up to verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them there in the temple. Verse 15, the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. But they were indignant and asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? So we talked last week about these kind of legalistic people where whatever happens, it's almost like there's a bee in their bonnet or it rains on their parade. No matter what happens, they can't be happy that God is doing something. That's just a weird take. And we need to stop doing that. Remember James and John. Hey, this guy was casting out demons in your name. We told him to stop. Jesus said, don't stop him. It's like, that is not the issue. The issue is with the Lord doing something. Praise his name. It's awesome that God's doing something. If he's doing something different in this group and this group, so what? Who cares? It's awesome. God is moving. And that's how we should always be thinking. We should always be so grateful that the kingdom of God is advancing and that we're a part of that. So Jesus has an interesting and I would say almost a mild rebuke or a reproof. A rebuke is a little sharper. A reproof is a little softer. Jesus says, yes, referring to the children crying out, praise God for the Son of David, which, by the way, is a statement for the Messiah. And they're acknowledging the Messiah. So it's like not like something's wrong there. But then Jesus says this line, haven't you ever read in the scriptures? Now stop. You see, what you don't see, what he says he's going to finish on, but even in the Greek, there's a stutter. When you think, what do you mean? He says, haven't you ever read in the scriptures? Stop, question mark. So he's stopping there. So this is Jesus' way of saying, boy, for people who are acting like they know so much about God and so much about truth and so much about real principles of for Israel, haven't you ever read the book? That is a very unique, subtle rebuke. And so he just, it's like, haven't you guys ever read this book? Now, I have actually used that in a discussion with people. Jokingly and not jokingly. The not jokingly, it turns out they never actually have read the book. That then becomes a separate problem all by itself. So Jesus is like, haven't you ever read the scriptures? Then he gives them this response. And I want you to see this sequence. It's quite fascinating. He says, haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say, you have taught children and infants to give you praise. It's like, what? From Psalm 8:2. It's like, what? So what Jesus says is, look, this is what the psalm says. This psalm, you have taught children and infants to give you praise. He's telling them, not only is this not wrong, this is scriptural. And had you read the psalms in Psalm 8, chapter 8, verse 2, you would know that it's appropriate for children and young people to give praise unto God. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. So he's chiding them. It's a very interesting element, but here's a tactic I want you to see. I want you to, well, if you're not looking in your Bible, you just have to listen along. Jesus replied, yes, Jesus replied, have you ever read in the scripture? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise. Verse 17, then he returned to Bethany where he stayed overnight. Okay, watch. Jesus didn't go, haven't you read what it says in Scripture? You guys are really dumb. I can't believe you're Pharisees. What a bunch of losers. And he didn't go on and on and on and on and on and on and on telling him how terrible they were. He simply spoke the truth and moved on. So I want to say that so that it's kind of an important part. Sometimes it's better not to get into an argument. Maybe the best approach is simply to share the truth and let the truth be declared and move on. Simply speaking the truth and moving on can be more effective than trying to get into an argument over it. Jesus didn't even say anything after it. He just quotes the psalm, moves on, bye. I'm just quoting the book. Doesn't matter. The word doesn't return void. I don't have to worry about it. So sometimes speaking the truth and moving on is a better tactic, as some people will never receive it regardless. So Jesus quotes the scripture and moves on. And he's just verifying, hey, everything that I'm talking about is aligned with what God has to say in his word. It's you guys that are not in the alignment. But he doesn't sit there and we have Bible billy clubs and Bible bullets. You don't need to always use those that way. If it's a regular back and forth, that's a completely different element. But Jesus just spoke the truth. Hey, here's the truth. The scripture says that God has taught children and infants to give praise. You should read that verse. Okay, bye. And what we've got to be careful on, and I know, see, in America, we're very competitive oriented, right? That's not always bad. Sometimes it's bad, but it's not always bad. But the idea is you don't have to win every fight, because you want to know what? This is God's fight in that sense. He fights the wars for us. You don't have to win and say, see, I out-talked that person. I spoke better than they did. I sounded clearer. I knew what I was saying. That's all pride. Wouldn't you give all that up just to see the person convert? Yeah. So then we just speak the truth and let the Lord massage the truth into their heart and minds. It becomes inescapable, and the Lord continues to remind those people way past us. So just speak the truth. Stand for the kingdom of God and what is supposed to be said. And don't sit there and bask in it, and don't try and bash them with your Bible baton, or don't try and shoot them with your Bible bullets. Speak the truth in love. And pray that they have a softened heart to hear it and to receive it. And then move on. Because the truth of the matter is, you and I, we're not going to save anybody, ever. Only God is going to save. And if we can be any part of that, well, praise the Lord. We get to be a part of that. Let's get ready for our first trivia. That's a very big lesson for some of you, to speak the truth and move on. Don't sit there and stew in it that you didn't have a better comeback. Stop all that stuff. Let the Lord take care of it. He's really quite able to. It's amazing. Here's your first trivia question. In Daniel chapter 4, who dreamed of a tree that reached into heaven? Daniel chapter 4, verse 4. Was that Obadiah, Joshua, Nebuchadnezzar, or Matthew? Who dreamed of a tree that reached into heaven in Daniel 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 4, and Daniel chapter 10, 11, and chapter 4, verse 10, 11, and 12. Who dreamed that dream? Was it Obadiah, Joshua, Nebuchadnezzar, or Matthew? That's the question, okay? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org. Your trivia question, pretty straightforward. In Daniel 4, who dreamed of a tree that reached into heaven? Was it Obadiah, Joshua, Nebuchadnezzar, or Matthew? There you go. In the meantime, I am going to send you up to the website. Blah, 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 blah. Check out the website. There's some really cool stuff on there. There's some challenging stuff on there as well. An opportunity to give, which we'd appreciate. An opportunity to put in prayer requests or praise reports, which we will help you in. That is, I guess, a 24/7 place for some people to go. So I do have an alert on that. All right, folks, check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HemosIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HemosIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HemosIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HemosIncrease.org.
HemosIncrease.org.
You're still here? Mm-hmm. It's over.
It's over.
Go home.
All right, Daniel chapter 4. Actually, it's chapter 4, verse 4, and it's also chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. So you have that opportunity. Who dreamed of a tree that reached into heaven? Obadiah, Joshua, Nebuchadnezzar, or Matthew? If you think you know, you can reach out to us. We told you, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. To the very next section, we're not even waiting around, the very next verse, we're in Matthew chapter 21, and we're looking at verse 18. In the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. And he noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see if there was any figs on it, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the fig tree withered up. The disciples were amazed, and as they saw this, they asked, "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" Jesus said to them, "I assure you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can do things like this and much more." Yazza! Who doesn't love this? So in the morning, Jesus is cruising along. He's taking his morning stroll with the disciples, with all the boys. They're all heading over. And what happens? He comes across a fig tree. Okay, cool. So let's talk about that. In verse 18, we're attached to this part where Jesus, he curses this fig tree. Now, believe it or not, and I'm going to tell you this, and I bet some of you already know this, but this tells you how weird things can get. There are 8 different points of view on this event, right? One of those perspectives is that the fig tree represents Israel. Is that likely? Could be. But it's more than that. It's fact that the scripture says this: he was hungry. And so we always look for something in there. And it's like, here, I'm just going to say this real quickly. Or he could have just been hungry. Now, I know it's amazing to think that Jesus could be hungry, but maybe he was just hungry. I'm just saying, he could have been. And so maybe he just simply wanted something to eat. And as he's hungry, he noticed the fig tree. He went to see if there was anything on it, but there were only leaves. You know what that means? It means there was no fruit. You really want to use a nice practical application on this teaching that has to do with the reality that many Christians have a lot of leaves, but not very much fruit. If the leaves represent appearances, how pretty something looks versus how substantial it is, while fruits of the leaves represent how it looks, the fruit represents what it actually produces. Is that possible that was Jesus talking about? Sure. Could it be Israel? Sure. Could it be Jesus was hungry and he wanted to eat? Sure, because that's exactly what it says. So, you know, we just leave that there and not get too weird on that. Here's what we know. Jesus was hungry. The tree wasn't producing fruit. Jesus wasn't happy with it. Bye-bye. Now, you might be thinking, gosh, I hope that doesn't apply to me. You understand, right, that Jesus didn't die for the fig tree like he died for you, right? I'm making sure you make that distinction, that a fig tree, though in Europe they might have lawyers, because trees have lawyers in Europe. Don't ask. Nobody can figure it out. The truth of the matter is that it's a fig tree. And Jesus was there to save and not to just curse people out. So let's not get too far away from that. But I do want to focus on, and we'll come back to this next week because of how absolutely, absolutely phenomenal it is. Jesus, when he curses the fig tree and the disciples are all amazed, he makes this one statement, and it is one that gets by us so often, and I'm just not willing to skip over it. Jesus said, when they said, "How did you get that done so fast? How does that transpire?" He said, I assure you, and he says two things that are connected but are one of the most important things of all. He says, if you have faith and don't doubt. And that's the lesson. You and I can pray and bring it to the Lord and have faith. And right, we should. We should be operating in that faith. But Jesus tries to make it clear. When you have faith, you can't have it connected to doubt, because the doubt reduces the effectiveness of the faith. It's like faith is worth 3 points and doubt is minus 3 points. And if you're operating with that plus 3 points and minus 3 points, you got nada. You have zero. We need to understand that when we operate with faith, we cannot allow the doubt to stand next to it. In fact, that's one of the great reasons why we'll often quote that gentleman whose son was having the difficulty and he was being tormented by the spirit. He says, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He knew he had faith, but he also knew he had doubt. If you have doubt, you should do, and I should do, what that guy did. He asked Jesus to help him. I believe. Help my unbelief. It's getting the best of me, Lord. I need to do better. I need to believe more purely and not connect it to my faith. I need to separate doubt and faith and let the faith stand alone, because that's what pleases God. And Jesus says, look, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and more. Really? Yeah. But you got to get rid of the doubt. And you have to really believe, not kind of believe. Okay? All right. Who was it that had the dream of the tree that reached into the heaven? That was Nebuchadnezzar. That's who it was, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a short break, then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
So there's teaching in the church. Most of you, if you're familiar with the shepherding movement, just so you can know, Bob Mumford and Derek Prince, people who were influential in the church, came up with this idea of the shepherding movement, that the shepherd is responsible for the people, and because the shepherd is responsible for the people, the shepherd should have authority to help them make decisions in life. Initially, the idea is good in the sense of making good decisions, moral decisions, so on and so forth, but it quickly grew into abuse, where people were making decisions about relationships, jobs, locations of living, how much they were giving, the whole nine yards, okay? Pastor Ken was a huge fan of the shepherding movement. He just didn't know it was called the shepherding movement. He just liked the control. So he would say to us, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You can't speak against me. It's okay that you took down the rabbi, but you can't do that to me. I'm going to read you a scripture. I'm going to show you where the error is so that everybody can understand how deep the fallacy goes. This comes out of Psalm 105, and this is verse 8. And I'm going to show you something that a lot of people won't show you because they don't understand the word context. Verse 8 in Psalm 105, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, then confirmed it to Jacob, to Israel. To who? To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan and the portion of your inheritance, when they were only a few in people. Very few and strangers in it. And they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them, and he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed one and do my prophets no harm. in context, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophet no harm, is all the people of Israel. And God was telling all these different Gentile nations, don't touch my people. Don't touch my people. You touch my people, you're going to be in trouble. Bad, bad, bad. Don't do that. I'll blow you up. I mean, this is like that kind of thing. And what the pastors have done is they've taken that verse out of context, even though it refers to the people of God. And you think, well, wait, are you telling me it's not the leaders? Touch not my anointed one. Christ means anointed one. Christians is anointed ones. Specifically, that passage is about people who don't believe in God touching God's people. That's exactly what it's got nothing to do with a pastor by himself.